So what we do and what we say and what we give attention to and what we don't give attention to, all of that comes to bear on whether there are other gods coming before God in reference to the family. Where do we go from the family? To the church. To the church. You say, well, surely this wouldn't be a problem in the church. I would suggest to you that perhaps the greatest place where it might be so easily disobeyed is in the church. Because the church is presumed to be there for the purpose of worshiping God and learning about God. But when the church starts going astray through generally the leadership, what happens to the people? It's just like the family. The people follow. And all of a sudden, you've got all kinds of gods coming before God. Obviously, the Roman Catholic Church would be a big example of this. But even in what have been, and we could get Dr. Sidwell up here, Abrams could come up and teach us how through history good churches have gone astray. How did they go astray? They went astray because they forgot about this commandment. They disregarded it. They ignored it, willingly violated it perhaps, but more times than not, they simply let something start pulling them one direction or another, and all of a sudden you've got liturgy. Liturgy can be a god to some people. They get caught up in the form of worship, and they put it before God. Programs. Maybe good in themselves. And there's nothing wrong with liturgy. Don't misunderstand me. Programs. Missions. Benevolence. Charitable work in the community. All good things, but they can lead to a violation of this commandment if the church isn't careful, because the church takes pride. But we support 300 missionaries. We're doing this. We have this in the church. Becomes the thou and violates this commandment. And then finally, what do you have? The world, the nation, the nations of the world. And we live in a land where there is something called separation of church and state. Now that's not, it's not held to the way it is here throughout the world. It probably is practiced in some form or another in most places. But here, the separation of church and state does not exempt the state from obeying this commandment. Sometimes we think about, everybody, can do their thing. And they can. We enjoy the greatest of liberties in this land. And men can choose to follow whatever religion, believe whatever they want to believe. But it doesn't exempt them from God's judgment. civil liberties, as they are called, do not come above the moral law of God, our duty to God, right? Our duty to God. So, the thou, we've identified. What about the me? Who's the me? God. God, and this is where you need to keep in mind what we've already gone over about the preface, who this God is, Jehovah, and all that's entailed there, the Creator, which then brings everyone under these commands, and the Redeemer, which affects how we come under these commands, our attitude toward these commands. Don't forget those things. That's why we taught it. The preface is so important to how we approach these commandments. All right? And the third term would be what? The other gods. All right? We know about the people now, thou and me. Thou shalt have no other gods. So what does other gods mean? What do you think? Help me out here. What's he talking about? Mm-hmm. Anything that what? What's required to make something a god for you? Worship. Okay, good. We'll talk about worship in a minute. Anything else?
Allegiance.
Loyalty. What you give yourself to. Good. Priorities. Okay, what we will give up everything to make sure this gets done. What else? Generally, what do people expect? If they're going to make something their God, why do they do that? Benefits. Good. They're thinking there's going to be something in return here. Okay? And you saw it, and again, others could speak to this much more effectively than I, but you see it in history. You see it in the world today. In the sun, the moon, animals. You name it. People, their life depends on it sometimes. In their opinion, in their mind, if we don't have the sun, we die. Oh, the sun came up this morning. Let's worship the sun. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But at the same time, it's really not that far-fetched thinking. Money. Power. Oh, if I have money, everything will be okay. If I have enough, and I'm not saying we aren't concerned about these things and shouldn't be, but when it's money that becomes the answer instead of God, we've put money ahead of God. We've made money or power or whatever it is, an other God. It can be in worship. I want to, Charlie mentioned worship, and certainly it can be something or someone that's worshiped by us. Worship, the dictionary I looked at, talks about love and devotion. Worship is that which love and devotion to brings you to worship them. Love and devotion. And again, we've talked about some of the things already as to what could be involved here. So, we're to have no other gods before the one true God. That's our commandment. That's what God said to us. So, we all have to look and say, what are the other gods? Linda?
Would I differentiate idol and God? Let me hang on to it for a minute. We'll hit that here in just a minute in the what's forbidden part of this thing. Okay.
Good question. Anything else, anybody? All right. So, what I was fixing, you've got to look at your own life and see if there are other gods. You know, that's obviously unique to each person. I mean, there may be a lot of people that have the same one, but they've each chosen that god or other gods. All right, but the point is, no, zero, nothing, no other gods before God, right? Next question in our catechism, I'm on page 408, question 104 of the larger catechism. What are the duties required in the first commandment? What are the duties required in the first commandment? Duties you will may bring to mind the third question of the shorter catechism. I think it's the fifth of the larger. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God. The God that's to have no other gods before him. What man is to believe concerning God, and what duty God requires of man. Right? So, question, what are the duties required in this commandment? So now we're getting specific practical application of the scriptures via the first commandment. And just bear with me. I want you to note, and I've kind of broken this up into two sections, but and we've talked about this in a lot of ways, but the mind and the heart. Watch as we talk about the duties, and it talks about this, but the first section is I just wrote mind out beside it. So here are the things with the mind. The duties required in the first commandment are the knowing God. I might put that in there at this point because it's critical, and we'll talk about it a little bit. The knowing God and the acknowledging of God to be the only true God and our God. That's mental. I mean, the heart, there's some overlap here, right? There's some overlap, but predominantly you get one or the other, I think. And to worship and glorify him accordingly by thinking, it's clearly mind, meditating, clearly the mind, remembering, mind, highly esteeming, it starts in the mind, honoring, adoring, choosing, loving, desiring, fearing of him. Fearing of him could potentially go either way. But all of those, and if you look at the proof text, you've got every one of those things hit in Scripture. Now, Remember what we said about the Ten Commandments, one of our rules? How do we determine what the commandment covers? By using all of what? All of Scripture. By using all of Scripture. So here, if you look at these proof texts, you're starting to use all of Scripture to determine what's in this first commandment. All right? And we won't read all of these proof texts. It would take us a long time, but go back and see. Because you miss one of these, you fail in one of these, what have you done? You've put another God before God. Right? That's pretty drastic. You know? Because you have chosen to ignore, to not study, to not understand God's Word. And God says you are to study and to understand and to know God's Word. All right? So now you've said, well, I know what God wants me to do, but I don't have time. And I'm talking to myself, okay, as well. I know how easy. I know how much the devil puts things there. But I want us to understand just how serious this commandment is. God's not playing games. When he says no other gods, that's what he means. And to the extent we fail, we are violating that commandment. Okay? The rest of it, I've tied to the heart. So we left off with fearing of him. I'm there in the middle. You can kind of go back. The duties required in the first commandment are believing him, trusting, hoping, delighting, rejoicing in him, being zealous for him, calling upon him, giving all praise and thanks, and yielding all obedience and submission to him with the whole man, being careful in all things to please him, and sorrowful when in anything he is offended, and walking humbly with him. The duty is required in the first commandment. Duty is required of you individually and of me individually. And the duty is required of us in our relations one to another in whatever capacity God's put us. The duties. Let me touch on the no. Where I inserted, the duties required in the first commandment are the knowing God. It's not knowing about God. You got to know about God to know God. Right? But it's not just the mental. It's the mental coupled with the heart here. There is some understanding. There is some understanding of who God is, what he's done, what he's done for us. In himself, what he's done for us through Christ, what he continues to do for us, what he is going to do for us. It's all part of knowing God and believing it. The duties, one of the duties, believing. If you doubt that God is going to do what he said he would do, you have not fulfilled one of your duties under this first commandment? Well, I know God's word says, but what? But I don't believe what God's word says. Is that what it comes down to, if we're honest with ourselves? You know, and again, you say that's pretty harsh. I don't know of any other way to take it. I'm happy to be corrected. You know, it would take the burden off of me as well. But I think when we come to these commandments, we've got to be honest with ourselves. They'll do us no good if we try to find excuses instead of making application. Because making excuses is what the old man would do. It's what the devil would help us do. Oh, yeah. With Eve, what did he say? What did he say? What was his question? What was it? I heard it. As God said. You got to be kidding. He really, you think that's what he meant? And he's never stopped asking that question. Does it for you and to me every day? Well, yeah, I know I need to do this, but I'll get it later. No, be careful. Be careful and be honest. We're all in the same boat. You know, I'm not wanting you to beat yourself up so much that you say, it's hopeless. There's no way. You know, when you understand and realize in one sense that it is hopeless, is when you come to God and you say, I need help. It's when we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. It's when we look in God's word. Surely there's something here to tell me what I need to know. How do I deal with this? God's promised to give us wisdom. Okay? If God's promised to give me wisdom, I can find out how to deal with this. Now, it may not be dealing with it the way we think, but again, you take these things as they are given, and the promises and the directions. You've got in 1 Chronicles there the first proof text. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. There's the mind and heart. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit. Down a couple of verses down, Isaiah 43:10, that ye may know and believe me and understand. Okay? Next page, Malachi. They spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You think about the Lord during the day. Next verse, meditate on thee in the night watches. Ecclesiastes, remember now thy Creator. Psalm 71:9, who is like unto thee, O God? Malachi 1:6, a son honoreth his father. On down, 9, Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Number 11 there, none that I upon earth that I desire beside thee. You see fear in the next one. And 13, they believed, they saw and they believed. 14, trust ye in the Lord. 15, let Israel hope, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And that's why when you're getting beat up and the devil will do his best to beat you to a pulp, you remember, but God is merciful. God knows my weakness. God knows I can't do all this on my own. But God is merciful. There is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. 16, delight thyself. 17, be glad, rejoice, shout for joy. 18, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Numbers 25:11, you see zealous for the Lord. 19, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care, but by prayer and supplication. James 4:7, there in 20, submit yourselves. 21, pleasing in his sight. 22, turn thou me and I shall be turned. Psalm 119, the distress because the law of God's not being kept. Micah 6:8, a verse that's very familiar. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? Here it is. Real easy. All you got to do is do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's all. How do you do that? If you do that, you'll keep the first commandment. How do you do it? By obeying God's word with the help of the Holy Spirit. Shorter catechism's a little shorter in its answer. Understandably so. And it kind of summarizes and repeats to some degree some of what was in the larger. First commandment requireth us to know and acknowledge God to be the only true God and our God, okay, and to worship and glorify him accordingly. All of the other things we looked at in the larger, which is does us well to look at, to understand everything that is comprised in that first commandment. But in the shorter, it's summarized. Worship God, love, devotion. It's one of the reasons I looked it up just to see. Love and devotion. Worship God. Worship God. And glorify him accordingly. Man's chief end. Glorifying God requires us to do what? We had it here. When, was it Wednesday? The familiar song that we sing. Trust. And what? Obey. That's how you glorify God. There's no other way. Trust and obey. And if you look at everything that's in the larger catechism, it's what it's dealing with. Okay? All right, we've looked at the duties. We'll start here with the next approach to the commandment. What are the sins forbidden in the first commandment? Right? The sins forbidden. So we had the duties. We look at the duties, what God expects us to do, requires us to do. Now we're looking at what causes us things that are a clear violation of this commandment. The sins forbidden, I'm on page 411, question 105, larger catechism. The sins forbidden in the first commandment are atheism, in denying or not having a God. So let me stop right there. Let's just hit that one. Atheism. And there are, in reading, and I'm, again, be glad for anybody to add to or give thoughts, but kind of three forms of atheism. First one is the person that says there is no God. Absolute. There's no God. You're talking about it, and you understand, if you stop and think about it, why God's word says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How can you say there is no God unless you are God? If you say there is no God, what's on the other side of that door? How do I know what's everywhere? I have to be omnipresent to determine there's no God. Because the one place I'm not could be where there is God. And I have to be omniscient. For even if I could be every place, if I could be omnipresent, if I could be everywhere at once, how do I know that the substance that is before me does not contain God? So I have to know everything about everything. I have to be everywhere, and I have to know everything to affirmatively declare there is no God. How foolish. The next one is the person that says, or the group of people, that say, well, I don't deny that there is a God. I just don't believe that the God of Scripture is the true God. I think there can be multiple gods. I think there's another God. Okay, you can have your God. I'm going to take another God. So in their believing, and here is the thing that you understand, and you and I can understand this somewhat because we know that God has put in them a knowledge, not of how they can be saved, but a knowledge of God. That they want to have a God. In fact, I would say they have to have a God. They need the comfort. They need the assurance. They need something to cling to. So they pick their God. Kind of what we were talking about earlier. They pick their God and follow and embrace that God. So they're not as bold as the there is no God. It's just they are, in their folly, denying the one true God. And then there is what a lot of the people called the practical atheist. They don't deny the God of the Bible. They just ignore him. Okay? So he created everything. So what? In essence, they deny any obligation to that God. So what they effectively do in their denial is they put him away. Okay? The first atheist we talked about is clearly unsaved. Can't be saved. So would the second. This third category, generally, you're gonna have the lost. I mean, isn't that somewhat the approach of every person before the Spirit of God moves upon them and gives them life? They reject in one form or another. Sometimes lifestyle, sometimes what they pour themselves into to gain some relief in their conscience. But what about the Christian? Can a Christian act like an atheist? What do you think? Is it possible for a Christian not to be an atheist? Christian can't be an atheist. Can he act like an atheist? How many say yes? Anybody say no? Okay. So how do we act like an atheist? We'll close with this.
Backsliding.
How?
Backsliding.
Well, backsliding. That certainly would be a general. Give me, if you can think, just something specific. But, I mean, you're right. You're spot on. You're backsliding. You're being an atheist because, well, let's just hit on that for a minute. When you're backsliding, what are you doing? Trying to either get back at him, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, or you're not doing something you should be doing, right? Isn't that what constitutes backsliding? Well, if that's the case, you've put other gods before him, which is a form of practical atheism. Well, God is secondary here. This person, this thing, my desires, whatever it is primary. Okay? Did somebody have, Carrie, did you have your hand up?
Well, you were saying
specifics. And we get to a point where are these people Christians and they're Christians that are acting like atheists, or are they really atheists? They want to act like, but they don't believe in their heart. They got some head, and so they do what they need to. Well, our time's gone, so we'll pick up with this next week. And look through these things and think about it. Okay, so how does this impact the way I live? So I sit and I look at this. How does this impact the way I live? You think about it for a while, you'll start realizing, you know what? There's not a moment in the day, there's not a thing I do, say, or think it's not before God. I must be God conscience 24/7. It's got to affect everything in my life. That's what keeping this commandment does. That's hard. That's very hard. It's impossible. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying. With God's help, the help of the Holy Spirit, I would suggest to you as we close that when you hear, when you read, when you consider revival, revival is probably the closest thing that the conditions, the people that are in revival, are probably the closest to keeping this commandment as anybody ever will be, because they are overwhelmed with the presence of God. They're overwhelmed with the majesty and the justice of God. When we're overwhelmed with who God is and our obligation to Him, we'll approach being able to keep this commandment. All right, let's pray.